what's going on with Jimmy Nelson and the bullpen. We talk about the World Baseball Classic and Gavin Stone. Is he a legitimate chance to have a big impact on the Dodgers this year? That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day, and make sure to check out Locked On Dodgers, wherever you find podcasts, and on YouTube. We can be today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate GM. Ever dreamed of becoming an MLB GM and managing your baseball franchise? Then this game is definitely for you. Download the game, just visit ultimatebaseballgm.com or look it up on the App Store. Our listeners get 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code LOCKEDON in all caps in the game. Check out Ultimate Baseball GM. We are Locked On Dodgers. You can find us on podcasts and on YouTube. You can subscribe in each of those places and never miss a day, because you know we're not going to. And if this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Samperio, and I'm with my co-host, Jeff Snyder. And we are both lifelong Dodger fans that have spent time covering the team, continue to cover the team, have been all over Dodger Stadium. We're not quite insiders, but we're here to bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning for about 30 minutes. And that's what we're here to do today, although we are, battling technical difficulties. So if anything sounds off, I'm in Miami for World Baseball Classic. Wi-Fi is not great, but we're pushing through to make this happen. So yeah, Jeff, how's it going?
Yeah, pretty good. Most of our noticeable effects will be a little bit of a delay between our conversations. So if you're listening and you notice that, forgive us the technological difficulties, but it's good to be back with you, Vince. These headphones I'm wearing right now, it's the first time I've put them on since I was in California, and I've been back from California for 8 days now. And so that's how I knew it's been a while since I've recorded a podcast with you, because these headphones have been sitting on my desk unplugged in since then. I only wear these when I'm podcasting with you. So happy to have the headphones back on and happy to see your smiling face again, even though I can't see your shoes.
Yeah. It's been a while. I know the shoes, packing for a lot of days with size 14 shoes is very hard. So I've had to keep a rotation of four shoes, but as long as I mix up the hat, it kind of works out.
You should become an old dad, because then you just pack one pair of shoes. It's New Balance. Actually, all I took on my last trip was my pair of Crocs that my mom got me for Christmas. So I am just a Crocs dude, and easy to pack for a long trip when you only got one pair of shoes. But I suspect even when you're an old dad, you'll still be a shoe head.
Yeah, I won't be wearing Crocs ever, so I won't be able to do that. But maybe some New Balances. New Balances are making a comeback in the shoe world.
Thanks to Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, but we're here to talk Dodgers, not about shoes. And we're here to talk – let's start with the bullpen. We are closing in on opening day, and based on injuries, kind of like we've been saying a long time, the bullpen's kind of figured out itself in a way. But based on non-injuries but guys coming off injury, one specifically, Jimmy Nelson, who's had – if you remember, we made some excuses for him in his first bad outing of the spring because it was kind of raining and the mound was all bad. But it seems like that wasn't the entire reason that he wasn't great that day, because he hasn't been great the rest of the time either. So, yeah, Jeff, a guy that used to be a lock to be on the opening day roster is now probably not a lock to be on the opening day roster. And that opens up spots for guys that are competing throughout the spring.
Yeah, if anything, I'd say if Jimmy Nelson is a lock for anything, it's to not be on the opening day roster. 57.1% of the batters he's faced this spring have either walked or been hit by a pitch. And his outing on Sunday was probably the worst of the bunch. And, it's sad to watch. And maybe I'm only 12 years and 3 days older than Jimmy Nelson. But I watch him and I feel like a sad dad. I've watched my own boys struggle on the mound, and you think back to my dad watching me struggle on the mound, and it's just so sad to see a guy not be able to find the strike zone. And Dave Roberts after the game talked to Kirsten Watson, and his statement, you know, makes a lot of sense, but I also wonder if there's a little bit of laying some groundwork here, because he said, coming back from Tommy John, the execution in command, that's going to come. We completely believe in him. He's going to figure it out, but it's going to take some time and he'll be fine. Specifically mentioning coming back from Tommy John, I wonder if that is laying the groundwork for an injured list stint, because, you know, you can't just put a guy on the injured list because he's not good. And, you know, Jimmy Nelson isn't necessarily injured, but you do need rehab time coming back from Tommy John surgery. And so I think they could justify starting him, starting the season on the injured list, just to spend time at Camelback Ranch, stay behind for extended spring training, and just keep on throwing, work on that command, and, you know, get into whatever it is, you know, eventually get into some rehab games in the minors to get that command back, because right now he's unpitchable, and there's no way you'd want to put him in a big league game right now, unless you're up by 11 runs or down by 11 runs, you know, the Hanser Alberto role. But I don't think that's what they have in mind for Jimmy Nelson. And that's not going to happen often enough for him to figure things out. So really the only way for him to figure it out is to pitch. And that probably means doing it in, you know, extended spring, and then rehab starts.
Yeah, I mean, it was all suspicious when they signed him, and then they were like, oh, yeah, he's 100% healthy. And it's like, all of a sudden, he just became 100% healthy, and the Dodgers signed him. It was all suspicious. Now it makes more sense. Even if he is, like, technically healthy, that doesn't mean he's ready to go and ready to pitch. But regardless of all that, what it means is that, you know, with Daniel Hudson possibly starting on the IL, and now Jimmy Nelson maybe starting on the IL, Tony Gonsolin maybe starting on the IL. You know, some of these spots have started to open up on the roster, especially for opening day, especially in the bullpen. And one guy that when we started this spring, we didn't think he would be a guy to be on the opening day roster, Caleb Ferguson. And now pretty much everyone that talks about him coach-wise or manager-wise mentions his name, and it seems like he's going to be on the opening day roster. But there is still some room for one other guy that we maybe didn't expect to be on there.
Yeah, and you know, during Sunday's game, Kirsten Watson talked to Connor McGinnis, one of the assistant pitching coaches, and asked him about the bullpen. And McGinnis specifically mentioned Phil Bickford as a guy who put in a lot of work this offseason. And, you know, Bickford was terrible last year. After he was good in 2021, like surprisingly good to the point where it was like, wow, how did the Dodgers do this again? How did they find Phil Bickford? And then last year he was just terrible, and he got worse as the season went on. It was remarkable. And then this spring, it depends on how you judge him, because he's allowed 4 runs in 5 2/3 innings, but 3 of those were unearned. And so unearned runs are always something that's hard to really get a grip on, because, you know, if somebody makes an error with 2 outs and then you walk the next 3 guys and give up a grand slam, all 4 of those runs are unearned because you should have been out of the inning. But you know what? 3 straight walks and a home run, that's pretty darn earned. And so, you know, you can't just look at ERA, but you can look at some of the other things. And, you know, Phil Bickford's whip is really good, 0.7, which is great. His strikeouts per 9, only 3.2. You know, he has 2 strikeouts in 5 2/3 innings. He also has 2 walks. So strikeout to walk ratio, 1. That's really bad. And so it's hard to tell really what's going on. And that's why one of the many reasons we always preach, don't worry about spring training results. You know, worry about how they look. And, you know, nothing about Phil Bickford has jumped out at me this spring as saying, oh, he looks like he figured some things out. But I also haven't watched him as much as Connor McGinnis has. And the fact that, you know, just like a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, wow, Mark Pryor specifically mentioned Caleb Ferguson. That must mean something. I think Connor McGinnis specifically mentioned Phil Bickford probably means something.
Yeah, I'm sure it also helps Bickford's case that he doesn't have any options left. And realistically, he's an arm they want to keep around. And now with injuries and little things that are going on, they're going to be able to at least keep him around, at least to start the year. And if Bickford is the last guy in your bullpen, you know, like, you know, if you're counting 8 or whatever, and he's number 8, then it's not a bad bullpen if he's your number 8 guy.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, he was good in 2021. And so maybe they can refine that magic and he can be good again.
Yep. All right. Enough on the bullpen. Let's talk about another pitcher who's not on the current roster. That's Gavin Stone. Before that, let's talk about Ultimate Baseball GM, because we're excited over here by our new partner and sponsor of today's episode. It's the mobile game Ultimate Baseball GM. And if you're like me and playing the actual game, or if you're into video games, playing the actual games doesn't make, that wasn't something I really did, but managing a franchise and making trades and signings and dealing with other things, if that was more up your alley, then Ultimate Baseball GM is for you. You deal with team finances, hiring coaches, hiring staff, signing players, trading players, scouting players, drafting players, managing players, personalities, everything you think about navigating through a franchise with all the ups and downs of a season. And you can get fired from this game. Trust me, I learned it the hard way. All this is there, challenging and realistic. Ultimate Baseball GM is free and playable offline, so you can play on the go as you want, when you want to. I actually got to play a lot being on all these flights. And, you know, if the Wi-Fi doesn't quite work out, need something to do, Ultimate Baseball GM is there for me. So go check it out. And right now, Locked On Dodgers listeners get 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On in the game store. That's all caps. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit ProBaseballGM.com. Scan the code if you're watching on YouTube, or look it up in the app stores. That's ProBaseballGM.com. Ultimate Baseball GM. Start your dynasty today. All right, Jeff, if we were a GM of the Dodgers, we would have maybe not quite the dilemma that it is, but a dilemma nonetheless with Gavin Stone. He finally pitched more than a couple innings. He got three innings, struck out eight, looked really good. Changeup is looking pretty disgusting in the good sense, especially when it comes to baseball. Unlikely he starts on the opening day roster. Unlikely he's really the first guy they call up, or even the second guy they call up. But it is looking like Gavin Stone might have an impact on this 2023 Dodgers team.
Yeah, and I think it was Blake Harris I saw. He said he, even though Stone's not going to start the season on the roster, he wouldn't be surprised if Stone is the Dodgers' third most valuable starter this year. And, I mean, watching him, it's hard to argue with that. You know, he's been – Noah Syndergaard doesn't have that monster fastball back yet, so I think Syndergaard's going to be solid, but nothing special unless he gets that fastball back. And then you've got Tony Gonsolin who's starting on the injured list, Dustin May who's still figuring things out. Yeah, I mean, Gavin Stone – is really, really good. He's thrown 6 2/3 innings this spring, has 14 strikeouts and 2 walks. He has allowed a handful of hits, 5 hits. So his whip is just over 1, 2.7 walks per 9, 18.9 strikeouts per 9. Again, that's not going to hold up. He's not going to strike out 18 per 9 in the big leagues. But you know what? He has been really, really good. And you know, it's hard to tell in spring training. Again, we don't look at results too much because the quality of the lineups and everything. And, you know, the fact is, even the portion of the lineup that he faced on Sunday, we struck out in 8 3 innings, wasn't necessarily a lot of big league hitters. But guess what? Nobody else has struck out 8 3 innings for the Dodgers this spring, and they're all facing spring training hitters. And so what he's doing is real. And even more than the results, it's that changeup. Like, I could do a 30-minute podcast of me just giggling about Gavin Stone's changeup. It is so good. I love me a good changeup. And this one, it is the best I've seen. I haven't watched every pitcher pitch. I'm not going to go out and say he is the best since, but the best I remember seeing since, like, Pedro Martinez, who, I don't know if you heard, he had a pretty darn good changeup. The Dodgers have had good changeup pitchers. Julio's got a great changeup. Pepio's got a great changeup. I think Stones is better than any of those, and one of the best changeups I've ever seen. And if he can keep that, I mean, he's going to be really, really good, and he's going to be really good soon because he probably needs a little more time in AAA but he's got the confidence. He's got the stuff. Everything about Gavin Stone says, hey, go ahead and put me in the big leagues because I can help a major league team right now.
Yeah, and if he was on a bad team or a team that wasn't expecting to make the playoffs, he might be on the opening day roster to see what they got, kind of throw him into the fire. The fact that he's on the Dodgers, and, you know, the Dodgers are already careful with their young guys in general, but also don't necessarily have a need for him, is, you know, why things are a little bit different. But, yeah, I mean, the the highlight from the game of one of his eight strikeouts, threw a changeup to a lefty that literally looked like it dropped off a table. It was, you know, really, really, really good. And, you know, that's the type of stuff that's going to work out. Is it always going to work out like that? No. He comes up to the majors. Is it maybe going to work out that way? No. But, I mean, even we talk about spring training results, okay, but, I mean, if you've been listening or you're a fan of the Dodgers and, or Gavin Stone, you know his numbers from last year. He had a 1.48 ERA across three different levels of the minor leagues. And you can say, oh, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can say a lot of things about that. But like you said right now, no one else had a 1.48 ERA in that many innings, I don't think, in the minor leagues. Pretty sure no one else did it, especially across three levels of minor leagues. And, you know, pretty much 1.16 in Triple A, 1.60 in Double A, and 1.44 in High A. So, yeah, it's exciting to see him there, especially with, you know, a guy like Bobby Miller, who we've all been excited for and has the flashy stuff and the 100-mile-an-hour fastball and everything else, but worked very slowly so far this spring. You know, so seeing a guy like Gavin Stone, who's kind of that next guy, or maybe the guy you didn't see so much before, if you're, you know, a little bit less of a diehard fan, or not diehard, but you're just not into the minor leagues, Gavin Stone is looking like the real deal. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's throwing big innings for the Dodgers in September.
Yeah, and a lot of that will depend on the health of the rotation. You know, like you said, Tony Gonsolin's probably going to start for sure going to start the season on the injured list. Dave Roberts didn't say for sure, but he basically said that. And so that, you know, is probably going to be Ryan Pepiot taking that spot to start the season. But then, you know, if Gonsolin takes a while to get back, or if somebody else gets hurt or whatever, I mean, Gavin Stone is going to get his chances, and he'll start the season in AAA and, you know, probably make three or four starts there and look really good. And then they'll say, all right, let's make room for this dude, whether it's a six-man rotation or injury opens up a spot. But I think he is leapfrogging Bobby Miller. You know, Miller has kind of there's some injury stuff, not quite injury, but just, you know, ailments or whatever that's slowing him down this spring. I think Stone has leapfrogged Miller, not just as, you know, most likely to get to the majors first, but I mean, based on right now, obviously Miller's got great stuff, but I think Stone might be the better prospect right now. And you still, I think long-term you got to bet on the stuff of Miller, but you know, it's hard to argue with, you know, Stone looks like a polished major leaguer out there. He looks like a veteran when he's pitching. And that's something that is pretty rare. And yeah, it really gets me excited.
Yeah, Stone's got the floor already, it would seem, of even a number four or five starter in the big leagues, where Bobby Miller, you could see it going multiple ways. And one way is he's a number one or number two starter, and the other way is he's a reliever, or and maybe not even a good reliever, just depending, you know, things don't always work out. But yeah, Miller's got the ceiling. Gavin Stone seems to have the floor. And, you know, at this point, it's just waiting for him to get up to the majors and see what he can do. And the other part with him is, you know, I don't know. You can't really, like, so we don't want to project anything or anything. He looks like nothing really gets to him. He's one of those guys that just seems like that. You know, Pepiot, I wouldn't say it looks like it, but in the moment, obviously, when he came to the majors, it did look like it. And maybe when Gavin Stone, because it's the majors, he would look like that, but he just looks like one of those guys that just, you know, has that mentality when he's out there.
Yeah. And it's his demeanor. It's funny because he looks like a kid too. I mean, he looks like a high school kid trying to grow facial hair, which is something I can relate to. But you know, he also looks like the high school kid trying to grow facial hair who, you know, listens to death metal and sneaks cigarettes when the teachers aren't looking, and then goes out and throws no hitters for the baseball team. You know, like he looks like a beast, like as scary, you know, he's not very big. He's 6'1", 175. You know, I think you or I could take him physically, but I wouldn't want to face him in a dark alley. Cause like, he's just like, you know, he'd come at you with something. Like, he looks mean and in a nice way, but ready to be mean on the mound and make hitters cry and enjoy it.
Yeah, he's throwing gravel in your eyes or something like that and then catching you off guard. So
yeah.
But yeah, that's it on Stone. finishing up with some World Baseball Classic talk after we talk about FanDuel Sportsbook, because right now the tournament is heating up and it's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 as bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. If you would have downloaded FanDuel back when we told you and used it, or even before the tournament and a no-sweat first bet came up, there were some big upsets in that tournament. And if you would have put down that money, it wouldn't have cost you anything because you would have got it back anyways. And you would have had a chance to win a lot. So don't waste your next opportunity. Go get the FanDuel Sportsbook app and bet on some basketball. Bet on some baseball coming up. Go make yourself some money to spend on Dodger gear or things of that nature. So don't miss your chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel. All right, Jeff. So World Baseball Classic is going on. If you are a follower of mine on social media, you've seen that I've been to a lot of baseball games in the last couple weeks. Haven't been home, burning the midnight clock or whatever it's called, burning the whatever on both ends. Either way, there's been some good baseball. There's been some exciting atmospheres. And most importantly for this podcast, there's been some Dodgers performing well. There's a lot of four Dodgers left in the tournament, which might be the most of any team, at least major leaguers. I don't know about organization-wide, but I think they might even have organization-wide. And even some former Dodgers getting in on the action and causing some Dodger fans to ask, why wasn't he doing this in the playoffs for the Dodgers? That's Trey Turner, who's been on fire for Team USA, had the big go-ahead grand slam to send them into the semifinals, had a two-home-run game to put them into the finals. We can talk about Trey real quick, but then we'll get into Mookie, we'll get into Will Smith, we'll get into Julio, and we'll get into Austin Barnes.
Yeah, Trey's grand slam was super exciting. If you're rooting for Team USA, which I am, and like that game, Venezuela was a tough team. Venezuela hadn't lost yet in the tournament. They were somehow Luis Arias hit two home runs, and it's like if Luis Arias hit two home runs, you think, okay, this isn't just meant to be. Even that dude's hitting homers. It was a fun time, but Trey Turner said, "Nah, I'm just gonna hit this 0-2 hanger." Looked like a hanging changeup, I think, based on the movement and the velocity. And he said, I'm just going to hit this 450 feet and win this game for my boys. And it was awesome. And Trey Turner always, it's funny. He's not very big. He's power isn't the biggest part of his game. And yet he's got a ton of power. And especially throw him a hanging changeup like that. He can hit a mistake with the best of them. He's kind of like Kike Hernandez in that way. And yeah, that one was, it was exciting. And even if you're not rooting, obviously, if you're rooting for Team Venezuela, that was not a fun thing to watch. But if you just like, if you didn't have a rooting interest in the game and you like exciting baseball, it's hard to get more exciting than a late inning grand slam to put a team from down by two to up by two.
I've never seen Trey Turner react that way. And that was kind of what we talked about with him on the Dodgers is that, you know, at least that first year, he never really felt connected to the team. The next year, felt a little bit more connected, you know, was the one that started the Wolf of Wall Street celebration and all that. And, you know, some of the jokes at least I've seen on Twitter is, you know, maybe because he wasn't getting those hits with the Dodgers, so maybe that's why we never got seen him that excited. But, yeah, either way, I mean, it brought out that side of him. It's brought out a side of Mookie that we started to see, but also he's been very vocal and active about, you know, the World Baseball Classic and how it's better than getting four at-bats on the backfields, he said. And you know, he's getting into it. He's getting excited. I've interacted with him a little bit, but just kind of seen him interact with media. He's even been, you know, not the guy that I remember seeing a couple years ago before all this in terms of, like, how he's reacting and how he just looks happy. Even on the Dodgers post-game videos when he's, you know, talking to Dodger fans or whatever, he looks happy. Everyone's talking about it. So, yeah, you know, Mookie, Will Smith. Will Smith played in the semifinals. He hadn't played the last two games before that. He had at least one hit that I remember. Mookie had a good game. Mookie had a good tournament. So, yeah, we'll talk about USA, and then we'll get into the couple guys left on Mexico because it's been a mixed bag on that side.
Yeah, I think now I was thinking about what you said about the Dodgers having the most players left. At least the Cardinals have four guys left because they have four guys on Team USA. We saw all four of them in Sunday's game with Arenado and Goldschmidt and then the two pitchers who, they're on the team too, Adam Wainwright and Miles Michaelis. But, it's been – even Will Smith, he's never going to be a guy who shows a ton of emotion, but, you can tell he's enjoying it. They've got their little salute cheer that they do, and he seems to enjoy that, and he's hitting the ball pretty well. Not as well as JT Realmuto, but Smith's hitting the ball well, playing well. He threw a dude out stealing at least one. He looks good. That catcher's gear, it looks really good that both of those guys are wearing. It is some beautiful catcher's gear. I really like that. Catchers are the one position on the field that gets to express a little personality in their uniform, because everything else is, oh, we all look the same, high socks or low socks, and do you have palm trees on your socks or whatever, but getting to wear the stars and stripes catcher's gear is pretty darn cool.
Yeah, and especially with Team USA's jerseys, they're just kind of, they've had the same ones basically since the first World Baseball Classic, so, and they're not great. It's not like a Dodger jersey where they haven't changed much because it's one of the best jerseys, if not the best jersey in baseball. The Team USA ones are just kind of there, but yeah, that catcher's gear is super slick. Team USA will play the winner of Mexico and Japan on Tuesday. No Dodgers on Team Japan. There are some major leaguers, Shohei Ohtani, who's had a good tournament on his end. Yu Darvish, who the Dodgers will face, who's had an okay tournament so far. Lars Nubar, who's become kind of a cult hero over there in Japan.
Who's getting credit for the pepper grinder celebration that Mookie Betts got made fun of for last year?
Yeah, I've been wanting to get Mookie for a second, ask him about that, but I haven't been able to. But yeah, they got that going over there. But Team Mexico does have two guys from the Dodgers. Julio Diaz is honestly, he was cruising in his first start and then gave up three runs. We talked about that one. And then this one was kind of the reverse. His last start was a little bit of reverse of that, where he gave up four runs right off the bat to Puerto Rico and ended up going, I think, four innings, maybe into the fifth. I don't remember exactly. But it has looked great at times and then hasn't looked great. I think the thing that stood out to me, at least with him specifically, was that first game he was pumping 95 and then maybe got a little tired in the fifth, and that's when they got to him. This last game, he was in pumping 95, and then they got to him right away. Two home runs in that first inning with those four runs.
Yeah, it kind of – you remember a couple of years ago, the big knock on Julio was struggles in the first inning. People actually said, well, maybe they should just use an opener because he's allergic to the first inning. That's what that Puerto Rico game reminded me of. And, lucky for him, Team Mexico came back and beat Puerto Rico in a really, really good game, really exciting game. And Julio kind of got bailed out. And I don't know if you remember, Vince, in the NLDS last year, when Julio pitched game one and the Dodgers won, and you and I actually said, well, if Julio didn't actually pitch that great, and if the Dodgers hadn't scored five runs, we'd be saying our whole topic of this conversation would be, wow, Julio picked a bad time to have a bad game for the first time this season. And that's kind of what it's been like. And, his first game, they did lose. That was the game against Colombia that Mexico actually lost that game. And then this game against Puerto Rico, he had to get bailed out. And so I'm really the two worst starting pitching performances for Mexico have come from Julio.
Yeah. Obviously not ideal for us. It's worked out okay for Mexico in the fact that they keep winning. I highly doubt, because the pitch count was up to 80 pitches in the game that Julio pitched. It was announced that, or they said on the broadcast, that he was really only allowed to go 65, which I'm assuming came from the Dodgers. So I would assume that rules him out for any kind of relief appearance in the championship game if they did make it. So Julio's sticking around though. Nick Martinez from the Padres is on Team USA. He wasn't expected to pitch anymore, and he ended up going back to the Padres, but I guess he's kind of a number five starter, so it's a little bit different than Julio, who's a number one starter.
Yeah, and Martinez, he's converting from last year as a reliever and converting back to starting, and so he probably it's kind of the Miguel Rojas thing of, Rojas just skipped the tournament entirely to get used to his new role. And it makes sense that Martinez needed to do that too. Austin Barnes, though, that Mexican catcher I feel like Michael Scott when I said that Mexican catcher, the catcher for Team Mexico is what I mean by that Mexican catcher. I don't know if Austin Barnes has ever been referred to as Mexican in his life until this tournament, but he sure is playing pretty well.
Yeah. He became the starting catcher because Alejandro Kirk didn't end up making it. His backup catcher was the bullpen catcher for the team. I mean, the guy, Alexis Wilson, he does play in the Mexican league, but he's not a major leaguer. But yeah, Austin Barnes is hitting .357, 500 on base percentage. He has 4 walks, 5 hits, and 14 at bats, so 19 or 18 plate appearances. Yeah, he's looking good, and he's getting hits off guys that are major league pitchers for the most part from everything I remember. So, Austin Barnes has had moments like this before, been had streaks like this before, but this is something we can look forward to when Will Smith is not playing. I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah, absolutely. If he can actually contribute, Will Smith needs days off. Every catcher needs days off. And, the Austin Barnes of 2017, we're probably not getting that back when Barnes was actually better than Yasmani Grandal that year on a per plate appearance basis. But you remember in 2020, Barnes had that stretch after Mookie taught Barnes how to hit again. He was really good. And he's had stretches like that offensively where you're like, oh yeah, this dude can hit. And, obviously he's had some big hits in big moments too, including in 2020 in the postseason, a lot of stuff that, it's not out of the question that Barnes could be a passable enough to be one of the best backup catchers in baseball, at least.
Yeah. And Austin Barnes, we know his teammates love him on the Dodgers. He was actually out of 5 or 6 players that I talked to, asked them who was their favorite teammate that they didn't previously have as a teammate. Austin Barnes was 2 of them, and basically both for the same reason that he's like sarcastic, dry humor, fun guy to be around. And honestly, we don't really see that side of Barnes. We honestly don't even really hear him talk that often either. So I do want to kind of hang out with, Austin Barnes and see that side of him at some point in life.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Team Mexico plays Japan tonight, and the winner will play USA on Tuesday. So if you're looking forward to that, Roki Sasaki is pitching for Team Japan. 21-year-old throws 100, threw almost back-to-back perfect games last year in Japan. Potential future Dodger. So if you're into that, go check that out. And you got anything else, Jeff?
No. It's been a really fun tournament, and I'm jealous that you're there for it all. But it's pretty awesome, and I am enjoying it. And Nolan Arenado got hit on the hand, just like Jose Altuve did. Altuve's out for months probably with a broken thumb. Arenado's x-rays came back negative, and so seems like he avoided a big injury. So, hopefully no more injuries in the last 2 games of the tournament, and everybody come back healthy. Freddie Freeman looks like he's pretty darn healthy. DH'd on Saturday, played first base on Sunday, looks good. And so we can get through the tournament, 2 more good games, no more injuries, and I think this has easily been the best WBC so far.
Yeah, definitely. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball for your second listen. Win your league by listening to Matt and Dom every day as they bring you the best fantasy draft strategies. Find Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. They're part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You can find us on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts if you search for Locked On Dodgers, which is also how you can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram. At Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car, if you're at home, to your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.